Well, so very first extracurricular that you play by play voice, of course, and that would be Scott Rogers. We call him Scooter. How are you, buddy?
Doing good, guys. How about y'all?
Good. Kyle from LaGrange Barber, how are you, man?
What's going on, guys? I'm going to go back in and get Bubba. We're going to edit that and where we have what's his name from ESPN there. And he says, Corey Glore, I'm just gonna edit my voice over it with Scott Rogers. That's just, you know, just the poor edit job just in place of that.
It's all good. We'll get that fixed. Bubba Rosenbaum producing behind the scenes. Appreciate you, buddy, very much. And obviously, Scooter, we're really proud of you being an ECU guy to start with. I thought, you know, we were talking in the green room. I thought you did a really good job. In fact, I was, you know, so happy with your broadcasting. Obviously, I'm a broadcasting nerd. You and Coach O did a great job. I was thinking that, like I was telling you in the green room, I thought we'd have a few victories instead. Sweep what? But got a lot of things to obviously dissect, right, Kyle, tonight on Next Trainings?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I want to ask Scott right to start with. Did you envision your first weekend of calling Pirate Baseball to be a sweep? I bet you that didn't even occur to you that that might happen.
No, it didn't. Definitely a disappointing weekend for the Pirates on the field. But, no, it's a long season. The guys are going to figure it out. Coach Godwin's going to get those guys right. And can't wait to call my first W. And hopefully that's this coming Tuesday at Campbell.
Hey, guys, I have a question for you before we start talking baseball. I'm not a betting man, but as far as the over-under – Coach Godwin getting like maybe 2 or 3 hours sleep tonight. What do you think? I'll start with you, Kyle.
You know, who knows? I don't know what he's like. You know, some people actually, when they're angry, aggravated, depressed, worried, actually sleep more because of some people's body's natural reaction to stress. So depending on what he's like with that, I'll probably take, you said 2 hours. I'll take the over, but not by much. Probably no more than four. I'm sure he's ready to go. I'm sure he wants to get out there and play Campbell. Is that Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
That's Tuesday.
Well, we ain't got long to think about it before we go down to Boys Creek and try to right the ship. And I believe Campbell lost 2 out of 3 to App, so they're looking to win too, and they got high expectations. You know, they had a good regional performance in Starkville last year. So it's you know, two teams have high expectations meeting on the Diamond Tuesday that need wins. And, we'll break it down, you know, what happened this weekend. But, you know, the concern right now is got to be at the plate more so than on the mound or any of the fielding. It's definitely right now the bats need to come alive. I think we got to figure out what to order. You know, I'm sure the lineup's going to be messed with a lot, and I'm sure that's going to go on probably for the next several weeks.
Yeah, in fact, Chuck chiming in on guys on Facebook, he says Godwin needs to change the batting order. One thing that I was going to mention to you guys, I thought about this afternoon listening and watching you guys, you and Coach O, Scooter. The one thing I want to tell Pirate fans, the one thing I'm concerned about is that very thing of being in the panic room and going, oh my God, we need to do this, we need to do this, when the reality is sometimes I think we can, as fans, coaches, players, the whole shebang, that we can overthink things. That was one of my points I was going to bring up tonight here on Extra Innings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any point in panicking right now. I think Zach Agnew said that after the game right now. He said there's no panic. You know, they're going to figure this out. And Pirate Nation, they're not going to go 0-56 this year. We're going to win games. We're going to get back on the winning track. But this is a team that lost a lot of production from last year. Thomas Francisco, Connor Norby, Seth Cadell, big parts of that batting order. And they're going to have to adjust to it and really adjust and find that right order early in the season. It's going to take time, but Coach Godwin's going to figure it out, and these guys are going to start hitting the ball and winning games here really soon.
Yeah, when I was talking about, you mentioned missing bats, and one thing we talked about, you know, before the show in the so-called green room is I think we're probably missing some leadership, not from the coaching staff, but amongst the players. You know, you got to have leadership on the team, and you need vocal leaders. You need guys that are going to be in that in that clubhouse motivating, and you need in energy. You know, to use a football analogy, Coach Ruff used to talk about the sidelines, that it was four aspects of the game: offense, defense, special teams, sidelines. And that in that clubhouse, man, you got to have leadership and you got to have energy amongst the players. And I won't in the clubhouse, but I got a feeling that might've been part of the issue this weekend. You had some guys probably down in the mouth with the Carson Wisenhunt situation. I imagine he's one of the leaders. You had some guys that, were looking to some of those guys you just mentioned, Scooter, that are gone for leadership in the past and to motivate, and now they got to step up. So, if you're thinking about that, if you're sitting in there in that clubhouse, and again, I went in there, I don't know what was going on, but and you're thinking, man, somebody needs to get the energy going, and, where's XYZ that used to, get us all fired up and bring the energy, you got to be that guy. If you notice it and you're one of the players and you notice that the energy in the clubhouse is down, you got to be the one to bring it up. Don't wait for somebody else to.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, I think one kind of big damper on things is the Carson Wisenhunt situation. Nobody knows what's going on with that right now. It's been very kept tight, which is a good thing. But I do hope the best comes out of that. Hope Carson does get back on the mound this year for the Pirates, because we're going to need him. He's our horse. We're going to need Carson all year. But going back to the leadership thing, I think that's also going to take some time, developing a new leader in that clubhouse. And there probably is, with us being up in the booth, we're not in the clubhouse. I haven't been around the team that much. The most I've been around the team is being in the dugout during batting practice. I normally hang out right at the entrance and just watch BP a little bit. But I think that's going to take time too. And there's a lot of older guys on this roster that are going to be leaders. And I think they are leaders in that clubhouse. And, it's going to take time for them to adjust to that as well.
And we'll break down each game. But you wonder about what happened Saturday and, us having a win taken away from us. If you get that, everybody's fired up. And who knows, it may have changed the course of today. So everything kind of snowballs. I think that's another good analogy to use, Dave. And I hate to keep cutting you off. I'll shut up after this. But I think you had guys down Friday because Carson went on the mound. Then Saturday, we get robbed from a win. We should have had a walk-off home run taken off the board. And I think that kind of just snowballed into today. So just a lot of things going against us this weekend.
No doubt. I was going to say that, Scooter, I was really upset with that call, and I'll tell you why I was upset with that call. I coached basketball at the high school level, and I remember many times I wanted to get a timeout. There was like the game was getting out of hand. I wanted to get a timeout. I couldn't. It wasn't in that kind of situation where it's the end of the game. And, I don't know. I mean, help me out on this, but I know we're jumping ahead to Saturday's game. But the thing I was upset about that was you have a home run, and you said, hey, it was a timeout. Well, how do you let baseball – we were talking in the green room. Baseball is such a slow sport. It's not like basketball where I'm quickly trying to get a timeout and it's like things are happening. You have all the time in the world to get a timeout. I just found that to be bogus.
The umpire didn't do his job. As soon as that timeout was called, you got to take control of the situation and stop the game. And
I know that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The fact that the pitcher pitched the ball –
right, and me having some umpiring experience in the past, I feel for the umpire in that situation. But at the same time, like you said, you get a timeout called and someone wants time, you got to come running in. I mean, running in, yelling, time, time, time. And I think that's what threw everybody off there was nobody knew that time was being called. Right. And especially us in the booth. For those who were listening or watching the game, I thought he was – right. I mean, we thought that just because we couldn't see where the ball went because of the angle we're at, we thought he was coming in to ask help for a fair foul call. And then once we started watching a replay, we said, hey, he's signaling this walking in and the ball hasn't even made it out of the park yet. He's got to be signaling time or something to that fact. And when they started walking in, me and Coach O both thought that they were going to go look at a replay for a fair foul call. And then once it obviously transpired, we figured out what happened. But it was definitely a frustrating end to that game. Pirates could be 1-2 right now if that wouldn't have happened. But, just like everything with officials, they screw up. They're human. They make mistakes. And that's what happened with that umpire. But you just got to put it behind you and move on, just like any other time you would make a mistake.
Yeah, and I agree with you there to a point, Scooter. but you're being a little more diplomatic than me. This ain't Little League baseball. This ain't high school baseball. This is Division I college baseball at the highest level.
Yeah, and I understand that, but Division I officials, they make mistakes too, and you can't
make a mistake in that situation. You cannot make a mistake in that situation. It's unforgivable.
Right. I mean, I think we can agree to disagree there that we make mistakes at all the time, but it was just an unfortunate mistake by the umpire.
He didn't do it on purpose. It's just an unforgivable mistake. I mean, it's like if you drop a baby on his head, it's a mistake, but it's unforgivable.
Right. I understand.
You know, and the thing is that it's not that the good news is, here's my thing. It's not that the players or coaches took Bryant for granted, like it's a cupcake and we're going to come out there. We knew that they were good coming in. So I want Pirate Nation, the fans, to understand that this team is probably going to win the conference, the Northeast Conference, with Stony Brook, but they're going to be right there in the hunt. And I want to tip my hat to Coach Godwin. You know why? We could have played a cupcake. That's what I was going to tell you, Scooter. That was another point I'll make tonight for you and Kyle. We could have played a cupcake, but I think there's a disconnect with our fans that they don't understand that when they see Bryant, they think it's an easy, you know, like a cupcake. Oh, Coach Godwin, scheduling an FC opponents like we do in football to kind of have a game where we can kind of work out the kinks or series, if you will, for baseball. This is a particular situation where he schedules tough. And the great news is now that Bryant has swept us, we need to make sure that Bryant wins a whole bunch of games for RPI. And we're not going to win 56 games, so we know that. And I think with the situation with the guys, it wasn't a matter of that they were not prepared. It wasn't a matter of they didn't care. That's when you have a real problem. If, say, if Coach, hypothetically speaking, because it hasn't happened, but let's say that Coach Godwin has lost the locker room and the players just don't care. But I know how much they care. I know if you go to practice, you see how hard they're practicing. You go to exhibitions, you go to scrimmages, you see how hard they're playing.
I don't think anybody's panicking that much, Dave. I hope not.
I'm saying there's some on the fringe. There's a reason why they're on the fringe, but they get on the message boards, and we love Steven Igo to death. He's a friend of ours on Hoist the Colors. But it hurts our program when you get on the message boards and you're being critical to the point of where, not to the point of where you want Coach Godwin fired, anything that extreme, but just, panicking like, oh my God, now we're not going to make a regional or, you know, something. I'm just throwing out there that let's calm down. Let's give Bryant, tip our hat to Bryant. They won the series and they swept us. And all we can focus now is on Campbell, you know? I mean, there's nothing we can do about the series now. We're going to dissect it and talk about it, and we'll provide therapy right here on Extra Innings for anyone that wants to listen, or certainly, and we're grateful for your time tonight, Scooter, as well, to talk about it. But I just hope that people will understand that we appreciate the passion. We love you guys to death. We have the best fan base, but everybody breathe. Breathing is your friend, and we're going to be just fine. And, yes.
You just said, just breathe. And, you know, for people not knowing who Bryant is, you know, they won the Northeast Conference last year. They have multiple Northeast Conference titles over the past few years. And, you know, we played them up in the Charlottesville Regional back in 2016, and I think we won that game 9-1. But they had a pitcher, and the guy I think that threw against us went in like the second or third round of the MLB draft this year. And so that's a program that is historically good. But like you said, just to the casual fan, you see the name Bryant and you go, well, gosh, who's Bryant? Never heard of them. Because I had to look up where Bryant was, where the actual school was, because I had no idea coming into this series. But I did know that Bryant was a good program. I knew that they were historically good and that we could not take them soft this weekend. But Bryant proved themselves this weekend. That's a program that's going to have a good year. And like you said, hopefully they keep on winning to boost our RPI. But I'm curious to see how Bryant does throughout the year. They really could be an NCAA tournament sleeper by the end of the year.
And Kyle, yeah, they're always good. And they're always good. Like Dave mentioned, it's always them and Stony Brook at the top of the Northeast Conference. And so, no, definitely not a cupcake. And to Dave's point, we're not going to schedule cupcakes because scheduling cupcakes hurts your RPI. Right. So you want to schedule an opponent. You typically this year, if you're a Southern school, you're going to host a Northeast or a Midwest team at home because they can't host right now because of the weather up in, I believe, Bryant's Rhode Island. Is that right, Scooter?
Yeah, Smithfield, Rhode Island is where they're at.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And so they can't host, so you're typically going to host a Northeast school or a Midwest school. And And you hope you can, you know, you don't ever expect to get swept. You know, East in opening series, you know, we're a top 15 program, and you expect to at least win two out of the three, but it didn't happen. And we'll go down each game and start breaking down why it didn't happen. Need to move on now. We got four tough games. Believe me, I can guarantee you this. If we go 3-1 this week, let's say we take two against Carolina and beat Campbell, nobody's going to be thinking about this Bryant game or this Bryant series.
Totally agree with you. We got a chance to really prove this team up at Carolina and at Campbell on Tuesday. And it's like you said, if we go up there, take two or three from UNC and beat Campbell, go 3-1 this week, nobody's ever going to think about this Bryant series after this week.
Let's go ahead, Scooter. Let's break down each day if you can, and we'll get your thoughts on that. And then we'll move to obviously talking about Campbell before we wrap things up later on. But for Friday night's game, obviously, you know, we've talked about ad nauseum on the show, but losing Wiz, that was just, man, that's just, that was really hard. And it, not only the fact that we lost him, but most importantly, we would think that normally it would be an injury, you know, like some nagging, like with Gavin Williams in the past, it would be like something with a finger. It would be some kind of like, oh man, we don't have him, you know. But now with Carson Wisenhunt, with the fact of it could, you know, we hear the rumors of what it could be. We don't want to speculate, but the fact that he's not on the mound, and then, you know, it's that kind of stuff that's going on that we don't usually have to deal with, you know. But Friday night losing 10-2. Just want to break down each night and each day and get your thoughts on each game.
Friday night, you know, Garrett Saylor getting the start on the mound. And Garrett pitched well enough to win that game. I thought Garrett did an outstanding job, really probably not having more than a week's notice on if he was going to really start that night or not, depending on how the situation with Carson shook down. But the early part of that game, the bullpen pitched great. And Ben Terwilliger, I think, is going to be a great weapon out of the pen for East Carolina this year. The Barry University transfer really came in and did great, not only on Friday, but he did good this afternoon as well. But, you know, bullpen-wise, I think we're going to be fine. You know, we're maybe a little weak in some spots once we get deep into a weekend. But pitching wise, I think we're fine. Pitching wise, we were good Friday. You know, obviously they did put 10 runs up, but you know, once we got late in the game, we started throwing some guys, started to give them some experience. I think that's kind of why the score got out of hand. But I think pitching wise, we were fine Friday, and Friday, same story all weekend. Excuse me, we just couldn't get the bats going. You know, we got a hit, get some timely hits here and there, and you know, there's a lot of things adjusting to this new lineup. You know, I was shocked to see Justin Wilcoxon in the lineup on Friday, and he did a great job behind the plate today and Friday. Just finding that groove in that lineup, I think it's going to take time. But I think that was the story on Friday, was the shock of it not having a hitting game, and it more being just a lack of offense.
Scooter, I heard you talk about the approach at the plate on Friday, on Saturday, about how you thought a lot of guys were first pitch swinging on Friday, maybe a little anxious.
Yeah. That was one thing that stood out to me and Coach O, that we had a lot of first pitch swinging outs, which I know Coach Godwin, he's very aggressive. He wants to be aggressive at the plate. But I just felt that we had a lot of first pitch swinging at that, not really selective hitting at the plate on Friday, but it really improved going into Saturday. And I think, like you said, it might have been a little first game jitters, very anxious, not swinging the bat against someone other than another pitcher from East Carolina since last June at Vanderbilt. And I think, like you said, I think first game jitters had a lot to do with that.
No doubt about it. One of my fans, we're sponsored by Next Level Training Center, and we'll give a shout out to Trent and Gaynell, Brett. Appreciate them for the beer and our title sponsor, nextleveltc.com. If you're watching right now, it's on the top of our screen. But if you're not, it's give them a call, 252-756-NEXT. And we appreciate their support of the program. In fact, Trent will come on with us from time to time, along with Scooter and Coach O. Scooter, with the thing right now, did you get a feel with, I know Coach by the way, with one of the things I love about Coach Godwin on Saturday was how fiery he is. And I don't know, did you want to talk more about Friday's game? Did you have any more on that?
I think that was pretty much it Friday. Coach Godwin in his post game Friday visibly upset. He even apologized to the fans since he's the hitting coach role. But he was visibly upset with the way they performed Friday, just like everybody was. But that's pretty much all I got from Friday's game.
You look at it Saturday, and I was watching the game on ESPN Plus, and had to leave. I don't know, around the fifth, sixth inning, and put it on the radio, and then ended up having to switch from radio once we got down towards Jacksonville to the Varsity app. By the way, great app. If anybody's looking for an audio option to stream the game, the Varsity app, great way to do it. But we seemed to really have control of the game Saturday, but not really on the scoreboard. It was a close ball game, but we seemed to be in control the whole game. And before we get into what happened at the end, at one point, do you think we ever really lost control of the game? I know we lost the game, but it seemed like we were really in control. And at one point, I thought, well, we're going to put this thing away eventually, and then we never did.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it seemed like to me and Coach O as well. We talked about that Saturday and for today's game. Throughout, other than Friday, both Saturday and Sunday were very evenly matched games in terms of the box score. I don't think us or Bryant ever had more than two or three hits more than each other, other than Bryant's four errors on Saturday. The error column has been very even for both teams. And you look at that game Saturday, Ryder Giles, two errors at shortstop. Ryder Giles never makes errors at shortstop. He's one of the best in college baseball. And those two errors ultimately cost us two runs. And then you look at C.J. Mayhew, that wild pitch he threw. And, that was very unfortunate because all it was a slider that slipped right out of his hand. And it came at the most unfortunate time it could have. But that's three runs right there. You take those two errors away, you take the wild pitch away, we win that game. And you don't even have to worry about what happened in the bottom of the ninth inning. I think adjusting to that as well. Mistakes happen, like we said. But, definitely something was off there. And I asked Coach Godwin about that this morning with Ryder. I said, do you think he could be in an early season slump? And he said, absolutely not. He said, for him and Coach Palumbo, he said he's by far the best infielder they have ever coached in their career. And I think that says a lot because Coach Godwin obviously has coached a lot of ballplayers in his time and coached a lot of good shortstops here at East Carolina as well. I think you take away those two errors, you take away that wild pitch, and, we win that game pretty easily. But same thing Saturday at the plate. We just could not get a timely hit when we needed it.
In fact, guys, on Facebook, let's go to a comment real quick, guys. This is relevant to what we're talking about. Craig says, the best hit was the timeout home run. Solid contact, and the ball was crushed.
I would honestly agree with that, other than Makarevich's home run he had in the 10th. But Wilcoxon's home run that was called back, when he hit it, we knew it was gone. It was gone right off the bat, and then obviously the rest is history after that.
we talked about it earlier, and obviously it was a mistake. Do you personally feel robbed that you had your first walk-off home run taken away from you? The call meant nothing?
Well, I will say, when I was told that I was on SportsCenter this morning with my call in the background of that, I was a little shocked, and I was like, dang, one time I make SportsCenter and it's something like that. But yes, I was ready. I said, and I saw that gone. I said, yes, finally, I get to do something exciting.
That got coverage on SportsCenter this morning. I did not realize that.
Apparently, we were. I was told that they had at least a 3-minute segment talking about our game yesterday and talking about the whole situation in the ninth inning.
Wow, that kind of coverage for college baseball this early in the year, just in general, is a great sign.
Right, and I didn't personally see it on SportsCenter. I tried to find a clip of it, couldn't find it. But I was told by two or three different people that we were on SportsCenter this morning, and they pretty much ran through that whole situation, which, like you said, for it to be day two of college baseball and them talking about it is a big thing. But that whole situation, it really took off on social media yesterday. You know, I know Barstool Sports was tweeting about it. I think it got on Barstool's main account, which I believe has close to 4 million followers. And there was a lot of baseball guys tweeting about it. I saw Ben Verlander, Justin Verlander's brother, tweeted about it early this morning. It was definitely unfortunate, but it definitely caught the eye of the sports world yesterday.
My thing is, yeah, is that
go ahead, Dave.
If it's any other sport, I'll say it again. I just think it's inexcusable. I understand mistakes. That's not, we're not in that business of criticizing to the point of that the guys are going to be like robots out there. We know they make mistakes, but that's one that, I mean, when the ball's like in the air and then you're saying, oh, it's timeout now. I'm just like, how does that even happen?
You
like,
can't let that happen.
Yeah. Balls and strikes.
You're not up by five in the sixth inning. In that kind of situation, you need to be on your game and make sure. Well, anytime timeout's called, you need to run in and stop play. But particularly in that situation, good Lord.
Could they? Yep. Let me ask you something, Scooter. So are they, because you've umpired games in that situation, the ball's out. They can't just say, you know, the game is over. I mean, when they say timeout,
no, because the play didn't happen, Dave.
Because I know, but they didn't let the players know. The pitcher already pitched the ball. If it was truly a timeout, well, they would have. To me, I just don't understand, why did you wait so long? You let a pitcher pitch and a guy hit the ball. And that's my, right. That's the thing I'm struggling with. It's not that we're going to be on the show, we're criticizing every single thing. East Carolina, of course, if we hit better, we win all three games. So we're not talking about that, like just using the umpires to make excuses. But that one right there is really, it's been really hard.
It directly helps us the game, but there's nothing they can do at that point. I'll let Scooter answer it, but the timeout was called. You can't say, well, since I didn't stop the game, the timeout didn't occur, because it did occur. So where did the timeout come from, Scooter? Who asked for time? Was it the pitcher? Was it one of the coaches?
I honestly don't know. You know, best I could tell, maybe the first baseman called time, because he was the one who originally pointed it out. If you go back and look at the replay, he starts pointing at the first base umpire, saying, you know, hey, he called timeout. But like you said, you know, from having an officiating background, you know, you got to run in saying, hey, time, letting everybody know time has been called. Right. But, you know, like you said, it's unfortunate. It sucks that happened. And it definitely happened at really the worst – definitely at the worst part it could have happened in that game.
Yeah, that was just for me personally, I'm struggling with that. And forgive me if I sound like I'm repeating myself. Even this morning when I woke up, I'm like, did that really happen? Did that really happen yesterday? Because I really
and I can believe it. You use another football reference. Think about the Tulsa football game from 2 years ago, Dave. Good God, it's right up there with that, as far as officials blatantly costing you a game.
Yeah, and then like going for Friday night, we understand, like, that one, you know, it was like, wow, 10-2, you know, it got out of hand late. Like you said, the probably there's several runs that we normally wouldn't have up there, but Saturday's game, and then, you know, even today, I feel like I jinxed the team because I'm watching the game, and we'll talk about Sunday's game here now. But when I saw the runner go to third base, I was like, oh my God, a wild pitch. Please do not have a wild pitch here. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my dad said, watching the game with me, he said, you called it. I was like, yeah, I just felt like, I kind of felt like that was getting ready to happen because of the weekend we had. And I just hope that that's not the, let's leave the Bryant series in the past and not, you know, it's a confidence thing. That's what I'm worried about, is the confidence thing, is that these guys are so prepared. These guys are well coached. They put hours and hours. It's amazing how many hours they put on the field, the classroom, the GPA. They're doing everything right. So the main thing I don't want them to – I'll say this. The one thing I'm concerned about now is what happened to Jake Kuchmaner last year, is too much in your head, overthinking things for the players.
Yeah, Yeah, and, you know, I was going through my head, you know, I didn't say anything bad on air. I was like, gosh, you know, hopefully they'll throw a wild pitch here. And sure enough, that's what happened. But going back to that, you know, you think East Carolina pitching and how stellar it normally is. You know, when was the last time we had two wild pitches that cost us a game in the past? You know, you just don't think about that with the way our pitchers handle themselves. But, you know, today, you know, pitching was – other than that, pitching was good today. You know, Jake Hunter did an outstanding job yes. his first start today. Really, really excited to see what he can do throughout this year. He's going to be a great, great tool to have in our starting lineup, and I have the box right here. But Twilliger, once again, had a great day today. He had two-thirds of innings of work, only gave up two hits, gave up two runs today. Only walked one, but added two strikeouts to his total. Giles came in, I thought, interesting today. A little early, I thought, Giles came in, but I think he was trying to maybe save some pitching, see what he could get out of him. But Josh Rose and Carter Spivey, I thought, looked really good today for their debut. And, you know, I asked Coach Godwin before the game about Rose because he had been dealing with some arm soreness leading up to this week, and he wasn't sure if he was going to be available this weekend. But he was available today, came out and did a great job on the mound. And that was one guy that I was really excited to see preseason-wise. The few scrimmages I was able to get out to, you know, he was hitting 92, 93 consistently on the gun. And he did the same thing today when he came in. But Carter Spivey looked good today. He had three strikeouts on the mound. Nick Logish, an inning of work today. That was a name that, you know, me and Coach O kind of threw around as a possible midweek starter this week at Campbell. You know, with an inning of work, with what he did Friday, we'll see if he'll be available. Skylar Brooks came in, didn't do too bad. He only faced one batter. Then Merritt Beaker came in, didn't give up any hits, but did have that wild pitch to allow the run to score. But other than pitching today, you know, it was hitting. We were, I believe, 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position today. And if I'm correct. If my count was correct, we have 30 left on base this weekend.
Yeah, today's game to me, Scooter, was just simply that. Did not take advantage of opportunities. Too many men left on base. That's a real simple explanation.
Right. Yeah, Kyle, there was 13 today that were left on base. You know, and that's and how many was it? Like, help me off the top of my head. Wasn't there three innings that we had bases loaded?
I believe right. so. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and to have like a run here, run there, and you have all those. So it's like we're hitting. We've just got to, when we're got guys in scoring position, then we've got to like knock them in, you know, in other words, to get the RBI or RBIs, you know, multiple ones. So that's good to see. As far as what are your thoughts overall? So now we've got to take the series and, you know, like we're doing now, we're putting it to bed. We're going to, like, forget it. It's like when you coach and you have a film and you get blown out, you just, like, you burn the film and say, never again. We're going to focus on now on Campbell. But what are your final thoughts on this weekend? And then we'll move to Campbell.
I think, you know, cleaning up this weekend, you know, cleaning up some of those mistakes defensively, like I said, you know, two errors from Giles on Saturday that cost us two runs, you know. You know, you can work on wild pitches all you want to, but try to avoid those as much as can. But, you know, the big story from this weekend was the offense. You know, guys like Josh Moylan. Moylan's batting 091 right now.
Wow.
And for a guy who really was one of our best hitters last year, that's very surprising. And as I look right here, he had six strikeouts this weekend. And that's pretty much, you know, unheard of from a guy like Moylan. But, you know, another guy, Alec Makarevich, he's batting 364. He came along as the weekend went along. But another guy, Bryson Worrell, you know, he was 3-for-11 this weekend. And I think a big key to this offense is going to be those power guys getting up, getting going. Guys, like I said, like Worrell, Moylan, AMAC continued to do what he did. But I will say it was good today to see Lane Hoover have a good game. I believe he went 3-for-3 today, if I'm not mistaken, which he did. He did go 3-for-3 today. But he's the leading hitter on the team right now. He batted 600 this weekend. So it was good to see him get up, get in the lineup, and have a good day today. But like I said, you know, timely hitting I think is going to be the big key to our success and getting those power guys going.
Do you think Coach will adjust the lineup most between now and Tuesday, or do you think he'll stick with a similar lineup and see how things play out Tuesday and wait till the weekend to start adjusting things?
I think he probably will adjust some things for Tuesday, depending on especially a pitching matchup. You know, I'm not sure what Campbell's going to have for a midweek start, but I think he will adjust. I think it'd be a good game to do it and see what we got. You know, I don't think C.J. Boyd would be starting at DH again, but we'll see. You know, I think there will be some shifting of some guys, not necessarily taking them out of the lineup, but maybe shifting them some, maybe dropping some guys down, bringing some guys up, that sort of thing. But I think there will be some adjustments made for the game Tuesday at Campbell.
No doubt about it. We have we'll get your thoughts. We're going to give our PGX pitcher of the week, and we'll ask you your thoughts, and then Kyle and I will give you the who we have down.
Let's go to who's your pitcher of the week.
If I had to pick one, it would be Jake Kuchmaner. He by far had the best performance of the weekend. And he did what Jake Kuchmaner does. 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts and 6 innings of work. He worked fast. It was until he came out, it was a pretty quick game Saturday because of how fast he works, much different than today. But by far, Jake Kuchmaner was the pitcher of the week for me.
Yeah, I agree.
And who did we go with that?
I don't even know.
Yeah, that's who we have down is we have Kuch for PGX. Pitcher of the week, we agree with you 1,000%, Scooter. I think that's certainly. And then player of the week, who would you go player of the week?
Player of the week, if you're looking at it from a offensive standpoint, probably Alek Makarevich. I think he had pretty much the best overall weekend from start to finish. You know, he was one of the few to start and play all 3 games. You know, like I said, he was 4 for 11 this weekend, but he had the home run Saturday. I think overall offensively he was the best, but I would say Alek Makarevich.
And you must be reading my notes. That's exactly who our player of the AMAC is, our player of the week. Kyle, is that like a spy gate? He can read my notes. Like, we got to do an investigation.
No, I'm pretty sure he just watched the games and he called them, and he has enough sense to know who performed best.
No doubt. No, I'm just teasing. We got to have something to joke about, guys. I tell you, it's a tough weekend. But the good news is, like we said, we're putting that to bed. The Bryant series, it is what it is. Whatever you can do, we can't do anything about it. Let's move ahead to we're not a fan of Campbell, obviously, but we like their skipper. I think Justin Hare is considering Campbell being a smaller school. They're getting a lot for bang for their buck. I wouldn't be shocked, and if Justin Hare doesn't go to, no offense to folks at Campbell, but a bigger school. I just think what he's done there with the program, not only as assistant coach, but now as a head coach for a number of years. And like Kyle mentioned, I mean, Starkville, I mean, they were incredible against Mississippi State in this past year in the regional.
Yeah, and you go back to what you said about how many years he's been there and starting to work on some Campbell prep this past week. You know, I had no clue that Justin Hare had been at Campbell for 13 years. You know, which now, granted, he's only been a head coach for 6. But that says something. He cares about that place. He really does for someone to stay at Campbell for 13 years. But he's built a great program there. Very consistent program, too, throughout the years. You know, we consistently – play them every single year, and they've given us some fits the past few years since he's taken over as head coach. But that's a tough place to play, and like you said, they're definitely getting a bang for their buck. A great facility they have in Jim Perry Stadium, which a lot of that helped with the Houston Astros minor league team playing there for 2 years when they came in and artificially turfed that entire field. But I believe they built a new clubhouse recently there. I know they got a pretty new video board out in the outfield as well, but been to plenty of games there. It's a great facility. It's a great atmosphere for baseball. Little small Pirate fans normally pack it out pretty good, especially if the weather's nice, which right now I believe it's maybe 73, 74 is a high for Tuesday.
That's
so
perfect.
It's going to be great weather in Buies Creek. And I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to playing Campbell. I love in-state matchups, especially early in the year. It gets an opportunity to see what they got, gets an opportunity to see what we got. I'm really excited to make the trip to Campbell on Tuesday and hopefully come out with a win.
No doubt about it. Kyle, I know you're going to have a lot of great things to say about Buies Creek and Campbell, right?
Yeah, that whole area to me. Too many roundabouts on the campus there at Campbell. And then neighboring Lillington's a dump. But besides that, it's a wonderful place. No, I like to pick on Campbell. And, really nothing against the school. My aunt's an alum. She went to Campbell. And I also love Justin Hare. He's a great coach, but they get on my damn nerves. They're a team that I used to find annoying. Now, over the last few years, they've become a good program. They've gone from annoying to good over the last several years. And I believe they went 1-2 against the Mountaineers this weekend. Correct?
Yes, they did lose 2 out of 3.
Yeah, so they're going to be hungry too to come in for a victory. Of the two of those, App State traditionally is not a very good baseball program, probably one of the worst in the state, despite playing in the Sun Belt, which is a wonderful conference. So it'll be interesting to see, is App on the rise? But Campbell's going to be looking for a win Tuesday night, and so are we. And only one team can come away with a win. So who does Campbell play next weekend? Do either one of you know?
I can I'll look it up real fast. But going back to Justin Hare, when we heard the rumors last year of Coach Godwin possibly interviewing down at LSU, if they were deciding not to go, in that LeClaire family for the coaching tree, Justin Hare is the guy to really keep on East Carolina's list, I think. He's, like you said, he's an outstanding coach, really cares about the program that he's at. But he's a guy who's been on my radar for sure. Campbell has a series against Maryland this week. Okay. And then they also play Air Force on Monday, all those games in Buies Creek. They do not travel at all. They do not have a true road game until March 11th when they travel to Liberty. They play in a tournament at the minor league park in Fayetteville. But they don't have to. They don't really have a true road game until March 11th. So they have a lot of.
They got to play Maryland and Air Force this coming weekend into Monday. So, all right, good. I wanted to make sure they weren't going to be able to do anything like goofy, like throw their Friday night guy against us, like you see on some midweek games. So I'm glad we didn't have to deal with anything like that since they're not playing Siena or anybody.
Yeah, well. I tell you what, guys, with our schedule, not to overlook it. You got Campbell, you got the series with Carolina next weekend, and then right after that, you have the Tuesday game in Durham at Duke. There with the DBAP. I mean, it's the next four games, and then you have Clark. You have Clark LeClaire. You have the Keith LeClaire Classic coming up right after that. So. There's no gimmies on the schedule. I want to remind fans on that.
It's brutal. You got Campbell, Carolina, Duke, Maryland, Michigan, and I don't know much about Indiana State, but
Coach O told me all weekend. He said that's a program to look out for the LeClaire class.
The Sycamores are the ones.
He said they could easily leave Greenville with two wins.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sycamores are the ones, Indiana State, if you remember, Kyle, that we were trying to – they were very close to upsetting Louisville, and we were going to host a Super Regional in 2019, if you guys
okay. remember.
And that's the one you said, Dave, you almost called it. I was calling for an upset, and I came this close, but you know what? But ever since then, like I knew they were a good program, but we followed them on, keeping an eye out for them. But we'll see how – the quality of baseball that we have in state, where we're playing the in state rivals, you have the conference. I think Scooter, do you think the conference is going to be better this year? I really feel like the American is going to be much better than last year.
I do. I think one shock this weekend was, I believe Houston went 0-3.
They did.
This weekend. Now, granted, they weren't playing a traditional series like we were. They were playing out in that MLB 4 tournament, I believe, out in California. But that shot, I mean, Houston had a down year last year as well. But I think Tulane is going to be obviously a power in the conference. And I think UCF is also going to be a power as well. And Coach O mentioned too, he said, don't take your eye off of Cincinnati. He said, that's a program to watch as a potential sleeper in the conference this year.
Yeah, they were one that really didn't have much of a baseball program in the last few years. Wow, they have really come on strong.
They built a baseball stadium, and that was able to help their recruiting quite a bit. I don't remember how many years ago they built that stadium, but I think that helped their program a lot. And then made a pretty good hire. They're always very scrappy. They're annoying and scrappy.
I definitely agree with you there. I remember a few years ago. Can't remember exactly what year it was, but they had a losing record coming in the conference play, and I think they ended up as like the 2 or 3 seed in the American Conference tournament that year. They just kind of came out of nowhere in conference play and really turned it on. So I definitely agree with you with them being a scrappy club for sure.
Yep. So Kyle, you going to with the predictions? We're going 3-1 this week.
You know, I'm not going to make that prediction. We got to see the bats come alive. Got to see the bats come alive first, but I certainly hope that's the case. 4-0 would be even better, but that's asking a lot. The bats at UNC, granted they were playing Seton Hall, the other Pirates this weekend. I believe that's what Carolina was playing. Correct me if I'm wrong. So, you know, not exactly stellar competition there with the fake Pirates at Seton Hall. But still, they put up a lot of – I believe they put up a lot of crooked numbers. So.
They put up a lot of runs this weekend.
So that's we need to get the bats to come alive. Granted, our pitching's better than Seton Hall's, but we're going to need the bats to work next weekend. But before that, we go down to Boise Creek to take on the Soup Cans.
you won't give up. I actually feel sorry for the Campbell folks because for Kyle from LaGrange, but we're going to have a lot of fun. And Scooter, in the interview I had to miss, unfortunately, we had you on. Are there anything else that you can tell us that you're going to add to the broadcast? I appreciate the great job you did, again, with Coach O. I think the world of Coach O was the coach when I was there. And so I have, like, he's one of the special people you'll never forget. And the guy, like, works 100 hours a week with all the operation stuff. I don't know how he – speaking of – we're talking about Cliff Godwin earlier – how many hours he sleeps, but I don't think Coach O sleeps very much.
He does not. I mean, I know a lot of times on basketball game days, especially when we're on TV, not ESPN Plus, when there's the broadcast crew coming in, you know, he's at the arena at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to let those guys in to get everything set up. But you will not find a harder working individual in that athletic department from top to bottom. He cares so much about this university. There's not a better person that you could have on your staff other than Coach O. But from a baseball standpoint, he is by far the most knowledgeable person I have ever been around in terms of the game of baseball. Stuff he was saying this weekend, I think it was yesterday, one of the guys from Bryant was a transfer from Hartford, I believe. And he goes, you know, that's where Jeff Bagwell went to college. I'm like, how do you know that? How does anybody just think of that just like that? But I love being around Coach O, working at the scores table at basketball games, being around him for so many years. It's very, very cool to be able to share the broadcast booth with him.
I had a question as far as the cameras are concerned. With the ESPN Plus, I'm happy that most of the games will be on, if not all, I think, for the home games.
All home games are going to be on ESPN Plus.
So question, can we add more cameras? I'm not saying we're doing a bad job, but that's one thing out of curiosity that I had for you guys, for you tonight.
Yeah. You know, obviously I'm not with Pirate Video or anything, right, but just kind of relaying some of the things they said. You know, they have to – so the past 2 days is what's determined as a kind of a full broadcast in terms of ESPN language with multiple cameras, that sort of thing. But they have to evenly divide all those full broadcasts up between the other spring sports. So when you look on there and you pull up ESPN Plus and we only have those two camera broadcasts, it's because that's all they can handle because of their workers. They got to dedicate all those other guys to the main ESPN Plus broadcast for that day. And so that's why there's only two cameras. You have those two camera broadcasts. I could be wrong here, but it's one person, one or two people only running that broadcast when there's two cameras. Everything else is devoted to that ESPN Plus full broadcast of the day. And that could be softball, that could be lacrosse, whichever. But that's why there's only two cameras on some of those broadcasts, to answer your question from there.
I was just curious if there was because I think they do a great job. I'm not critical of them at all. So I want to be pretty clear on that, just out of curiosity, for sure. And I have one final question for you. I know you're a big baseball fan. I heard you're a Braves fan. Do the millionaires and billionaires get it together? I'm not going to like get you to hold your breath, but I'm really concerned about the baseball season. I know you and Coach O talk about it, but I want to get your thoughts on that.
I'm very concerned. You know, we talked about it Friday off the air. You know, I think, you know, they've said spring training is delayed until March 4th or March 5th, somewhere in there. But you got to think the time, even the spring training, you know, were to start there. You still got so many weeks for the pitchers and catchers to report. Then you got to bring all your position guys in, give them a few games. And if, even if we do come to an agreement by March 5th, you're looking at, you know, mid-May probably as the earliest that Major League Baseball would start their regular season. And that is going to kill the game of baseball, not having anything for that long. Now, I do think it's going to help the college ranks, getting more eyes on the college game. But I'm very disappointed. I'm ready for Major League Baseball to come back, being a Braves fan, winning the World Series last year. Very excited to see what we can do again this year. But from a baseball standpoint, it's very frustrating. And to read stuff on social media that they're having these, you know, negotiating sessions that are lasting 15, 20 minutes long, it's like, what's the point of even doing that? You're going to go in there and talk for 15, 20 minutes. But it's very frustrating. And it's very frustrating, too, from a fan's perspective, because you got to have free agency in that time period, too, after an agreement comes made. And for Braves fans, with Freddie Freeman being a free agent this year, you know, we're on the edge of our seats. You know, everybody wants Freddie to come back, and you read the rumors of, you know, the Dodgers and the Yankees are going to go after him hard. It makes you nervous. It makes you very nervous, and, you know, you can't do anything about it because people are fighting, and it's very frustrating, very frustrating.
I think it's disgusting, and a lot of people want to put it on the owners or the players, and I'm going to put it on the players, and this is why. You know, you talk about millionaires and billionaires. Well, let's be honest. 90% of us work for people and for corporations and companies that are multi-million or multi-billion-dollar corporations, and we don't make jack shit compared to what MLB players are making. And we don't go on strike and refuse to go to work, you know, because we're getting $20 an hour versus $40 an hour. And in most cases, most companies can afford to pay you a lot more than they're paying you. So you got these Major League Baseball players, and we won't, you know, it trickles down to the minor leagues and all that, and that's different. And that's who it's really affecting, in my opinion, is because you won't have minor league baseball with all this going on. So to me, when you're a multimillionaire and you're out there playing a frigging sport and you're getting to have fun and you're bitching because your contract or whatever, you're only getting $20 million and you think you deserve $50 million or because you have to play this many games instead of that many games, and it is a long season and a grueling season, but – I put it more on the players than the owners because we're all in the same situation the players are in. The people above us that are our bosses are making way more money than us. And so we don't get to go on strike. We got to go to work tomorrow. So shut the hell up and play baseball. And my prediction is Major League Baseball season will start post Memorial Day. I think we'll have a season, but it'll be post Memorial Day before they actually get out there and play.
I think that's a good guess on a start date. And it's like Coach O said, he said, you know, that mid-May date, that's the earliest, the very, very, very earliest they could start. And he said, you know, you could very, very easily see it into first part of June, middle June, if not for your worst case scenario there.
I'm not that optimistic. I hope that's correct. I think it could be right before the All-Star break, which I don't even know how you can have an All-Star game.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't. But I'm just saying, like, that point of time, My thing is, it's like this, you know, the NFL is number one. And, you know, when the fact those guys are still playing and playing and they added another game and all that, Major League Baseball, as much as I love it, is not the number one sport. So I just don't understand how they can be arrogant when they're not the number one sport. And I understand there's if it were me and you're a players association, you got the owners, that situation, they should be locked into a room and get it done. I think they have too many excuses. Like you said, I felt the same way, Scooter, with the, you know, you're in there for, you think that something's going to happen and you get teased like they were in there for 15 minutes. Well, until you have a deal done, don't even go to the negotiations. Have something, have a couple people working in between or whatever. Not that I know anything about the negotiations for Major League Baseball, but it took, you know, it took guys being on steroids.
I'm calling Mark when I get off the phone with you guys. That's my boss. And I'm telling him I'm not coming to work tomorrow unless I get a $10 raise. And I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I bet I'm going to get fired if I do that.
Yeah. And I just don't understand with the owners. They talk about how they don't make enough money. Well, from their vantage point, when you don't have games, they're not going to have. And not only that, Scooter, another thing that hurts for me is what about a guy that like us, that we have our full-time job and then, oh, we're going to the stadium to park cars. We're going to the stadium to sell hot dogs.
That's a good point.
Those are the people that I care about, that they have. They rely on their income of, you know, half of the season they're going to be there. Well, it would normally be 80 games. Well, now maybe, what is it, 30 games?
Maybe the players want some sympathy for me. Why don't they put in their bargaining agreement some more money for the ticket takers and the people that sell Cokes and the people that, you know, sell souvenirs and to take parking, you know, and God knows what the owners start. You know, I don't go, you know, unfortunately, I've never been to an MLB game just because there's nobody in this area.
In the matter of a decade, we'll have one in Charlotte, but that's a whole nother show.
But my point is, you know, I go to a lot of concerts and I don't know what's being charged for parking in MLB games for concerts. It's outrageous. So, you know, I bet the owners are making a ton of money on parking too. But anyway, my point is you got millionaires and billionaires. It's hard to be sympathetic when you're the average man, and just shut up and play baseball. And I was going to make this point earlier and we'll wrap this up. I just, Scooter mentioned being a Braves fan, and I was watching the World Series last year, Scooter. First time in my life I cheered for the Braves in the World Series. I grew up hating the Braves, and I'll tell you why. It was nothing to do. You know, I was growing up as a little kid, I was an Oakland A's fan because I came up in the era of the Bash Brothers, McGuire, Canseco. Then I switched to being a Cubs fan just because of WGN coverage, Harry Carey, you know, fell in love with Ryan Sandberg, whatever. But my first sports love before ECU football, before Major League Baseball, as a kid, my first sport I loved was the sport. And it was a sport at that time, Scooter, a professional wrestling. So I would go to watch WCW Saturday night, and the damn Atlanta Braves would be playing baseball in extra innings, and I'd want to throw my TV through the window. So I hated the Braves because they would interrupt my WCW wrestling as a kid.
Speaking of pro wrestling, I don't know if you can see behind me. I'm going to point to it right here. This is my prized pro wrestling possession. I have an autograph from Ric Flair. That's probably the only pro wrestling memorabilia that I have, but that will always be on my wall whenever I wherever I go. I got his autograph down at the Seafood Festival in Moorhead City. I was like 8 or 9 years old one time. You know, we're all young. We all go through a professional wrestling phase. And when I saw that he was coming, I think I made my mom stand in line for like 2.5 hours to get that autograph. So that's probably 2.5 hours of her life that she'll never get back.
Let me tell you something, Scooter. Let me tell you something, Scott Rogers. Your mom, she got to admit the kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, Rolex wearing, son of a gun. Woo! It was the thrill of your mother's life to stand in line and get the Nature Boy's autograph. She was in the presence of greatness. And Scooter, I hate to tell you, your mama wanted to take a ride on Space Mountain. Woo!
Oh my God.
That was a good one. That was a great impression right there. That was awesome.
I appreciate it, Scooter.
He's a Dusty Rhodes guy too, so.
I can bring Dusty Rhodes a bullet of woods, baby. I used to go to watch Mr. Dusty Rhodes on WCW Saturday night, and I'd sit there and the Atlanta Braves would be on my TV, and I'd want to hit it with the Bionic Elbow.
Amazing. Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
The show has gone off the rails, but anyway, I appreciate you so much, Scooter. Great job. Like I said, very proud of you as a Pirate, and we're happy to have a Pirate. No offense to Corey. He did a great job, but glad to have a Pirate and another great Pirate with Coach O. You guys have great chemistry. I'm looking forward to the game on. Let's talk, set the folks up before we go. As far as the games on Tuesday, can you give me broadcast time and all that so we can – and on and for the weekend for UNC?
Yep, so we'll be on the air at 4:45 Tuesday afternoon with the start with the Bud Light Dugout Show with the normal pregame that we have. You know, come out, have our opening comments, talk to Coach Godwin, give our starting lineups and everything. Pretty much the same. That's what you can count on. You know, first pitch – the first pitch is at 5 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 4:45, 15 minutes before each game is when we come on the air. But Coach O will be with us on Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday of this week. This weekend, Saturday, since we have a home basketball game, Coach O won't be able to be there. But made a call to the bullpen. Spencer Brickhouse, former Pirate, will be joining the broadcast Saturday afternoon from Chapel Hill. So looking forward to that.
All right, I want to remind fans that next year Carolina is going to come to Greenville 2 out of 3 games. So the coach, Coach Forbes, and with Coach Godwin said, as long as they're coaching here, that we're going to do with that series, and that's the way they're going to do it. So I love it, and look forward to the Pirates having a better week. And we'll put the series, like I said, the Bryant series to bed. And good luck to the Pirates this week, Scooter man. Thank you so much for your time tonight. You've been generous, and look forward to you and Coach O, and look forward to next week with you right here on Extra Innings.
Well, thank you, guys. And one more thing to add from this weekend, shout out to the Pirate fans. We averaged, I believe, 3,700 over the weekend for attendance. I think we had almost 4,000 in attendance Saturday afternoon. But keep up that fan support. Players love it. We love it from a broadcast perspective. It gets us excited when the fans get excited. But shout out to the Pirate Nation. They did really show out for opening weekend this year.
And I forgot to ask you, what is your Twitter handle for folks that they can tweet you during the game, or if they want to tweet you anytime?
Yeah, so my personal handle is Scooter7150. But just to kind of keep things separate, if you want to tweet us during the broadcast, tweet at the Pirate Sports Network, which that Twitter handle is Pirate, SPTNET, Sport Network being abbreviated. But definitely let us know where you're listening to. Corey did a great job of it whenever he did it, and I wanted to be able to continue it. And follow the Pirate Sports Network on Twitter, because I do have some stuff planned from throughout the year to do on social media starting Tuesday at Campbell. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Kyle, do you have anything before we go, my friend?
No, just looking forward to getting in the win column this week. Hopefully we do it Tuesday night in Boise Creek.
Sounds good. I want to give a shout out again to our title sponsor, Next Level Training Center. And you can go to nextleveltc.com or, of course, call them. We have that up on the screen if you're watching. If you're listening, it's 252-756-NEXT. Appreciate their support of the program. Guys, hope you have a great night. Good luck to the Pirates, and we'll see you guys next time.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night. We will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!